you have a Bible, if you could open it up to Colossians 4. One of the things we like to do on our Partnership Sunday is, so I've come down here, but the other pastors have kind of shuffled their way round. So all the pastors are in different churches today, but we're all preaching from the same text. So we're all in just that short text in Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, where Paul is essentially asking for prayer. So as you turn there, just let me give you a little bit of a sort of a thought of orientation as we come to it. So I want you to imagine, I suspect as a church you have missionaries you support, and those missionaries, they send you letters. And I want you to picture this missionary letter coming. You've been waiting for it, because you've heard that this missionary who has gone abroad, they have a passion for the gospel. They've recently been put under arrest. They're in chains. And you get this letter, and you're desperate to find out, well, what's happened to them? You're desperate to find out, how can we pray for them? How can we help them? They're pushed and they're squeezed. And I don't know if like you, when you get these prayer letters, it's often a side of A4. And then sometimes in the bottom right-hand corner, there's the how you can pray for us. And there's like three bullet points. Now, if you're anything like me, that's the first bit you read. Because that's kind of the bit which shows the really important thing. That summarizes everything that they want. And here, when we get into Colossians, Paul has spoken about a whole load of things. And now we get this little bottom right-hand corner of his prayer letter. The things he wants us to pray for him. The things he wants the Colossians to pray for. And I think it highlights what's really important. So he says a couple of things. He says, one, he wants to encourage the Colossians in the way they pray. The way they pray, and two, what they can pray for Paul. And as we read in, several thousand years later, I want us to be thinking, well, how is that shaping the way we pray and what we pray? But let me pray, and then I'll read the text. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayer and that you speak to us through your word. Father, we ask this morning that you would open the word to us so that we would hear your voice as we hear it read. But Lord, we also ask that you would open us to your word. Pray that we would be open to be shaped and changed to see the glory of Jesus and to live for him. Amen. So let me read Colossians 4 from verse 2 just to verse 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This morning, we're just going to look at those few verses at the beginning, verse 2 to verse 4, because we want to see what Paul is saying about what we should pray and the way we should pray. So first, just look at verse 2. He's saying the way we should pray. This is like, he's saying this is the atmosphere you should have when you're praying by yourself. This is kind of the tone of your prayer meetings. If Paul could pop into a prayer meeting, this is what he'd want to see. And he'd want to see, verse 2, that you are devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So first, he wants us to be devoted to prayer. Devoted. What pops in your mind when you're thinking of something being devoted? I wonder if you think of like a friend who is devoted to you. You know that they love you, but you know they're also going to be there no matter what. It's this commitment of devotion. Or you might think of a married couple who are devoted to one another. They love one another and they're committed to one another. And I think the difference of devotion is like love, but with work. It's a steady, hard love. It's love. Yes, you love the person, but you're also willing to be committed to them. That's devotion. It's love and work. You see, it's sort of a love that causes work. Because just love, if you're married, you might know that some days it's easy to love your wife. There are days when in my marriage it's like conversation flows easy. You walk through the woods and it's like the petals are dropping around you and go, what a joy to be married to you. Yeah, some days it's easy to be married, but there are some days, aren't there, where it's not so easy. There are some days where the petals are maybe slightly rotting on the floor. And you know that devotion to my wife is in those days I'm still going to be there for her. In those days when I don't know the words to say, I'm still there. In those days when it's hard, I'm devoted to her. Whether it's high or low, whether it's hard or easy. That's devotion. So it's love, but it's also work. And that's what our attitude to prayer is to be like. We're to be devoted to prayer. Can you see? He says, devote yourself to prayer. So it is an act of love. Sometimes prayer might be easy. Sometimes you might go to the Father and you go, I just love praying. I just love that I have access to you, Father. There are some times, aren't there, where you go, yes, I get to pray. There are some times when it's an act of love where you hear about somebody and you just go, they're struggling, you go, shall we pray? It's just that natural inclination of love going, well, let's go to our Father. He can help, let's pray. But I love that it's devotion because it's honest, isn't it? Sometimes prayer is hard. Sometimes prayer is work. You know, if I asked you, I'm not going to ask you, but if I asked you to put your hand up if you sometimes find prayer hard, surely all of us would put our hands up. But this is saying, well, be devoted to prayer even when it's hard. I think we get an amazing example of this just a few verses later. If you have a look in chapter 4, verse 12, you get this guy called Epaphras. Now, he's planted this church, and now he's with Paul. And Paul describes Epaphras. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. Isn't that a wonderful image? He's wrestling for them in prayer. And then later on it says, where's it gone? I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. It's hard work praying for them. He's wrestling for them. Now, wrestling is not that skipping through the woods with petals falling. Wrestling is going, I'm going to work hard to pray for you. I want to work hard to pray for your good. I imagine there were times when a pastor was going, not today. But he goes, no, I love them. I want to pray for them. I'm apart for them, but I'm going to pray for them because I love them. And can you see how that's bound together? It's not just a sort of dry duty. It's not him going, I have to do it, so I'll do it four times a day. It's out of love that he's wrestling. Do you see that? See, he's going, I love them, so I'm going to pray for them. And sometimes that's going to be hard. And I hope you can see that love and duty, the love and work comes together. A bit like if I'm having a really difficult time, I like to think that I might have a friend who would go, yeah, I'm going to leave my busy weekend and I'm going to come down and see Spencer because he's having a hard time. For that friend, is it going to be hard? Well, yeah. But he's doing it because he loves me. That's devotion. Devotion is love and work sort of tied up together. And that's how our attitude to prayer should be. Yes, sometimes it's hard. And yet, because we love God, because we love others, we're going to be devoted to it. We're going to commit ourselves to it. We're devoted to prayer. And then second, we're devoted to prayer, but we're watchful in prayer. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. Now, the word watchful, it means like be awake, be alert. And you might be saying, well, I've been in prayer meetings, maybe all of you know these prayer meetings, where somebody's fallen asleep. They don't seem very alert in the prayer meeting. You know, maybe it is one of you. Well, here it's saying be alert in prayer. So it's not necessarily about being awake. It's about being alert, being awake to the reality of what's going on. It's saying lift your head from your current circumstances and in prayer be awake to the reality of what's going on. You think of Paul, what was his prayers like? Well, he was watchful, he was awake because he's in maybe a prison cell, possibly house arrest, so he's got these four walls surrounding him. He can't go and do what he should be doing. He can't go to the shops, let alone anything else. And wouldn't that be easy for him to drop into despair and go, what hope have I got? I can't do anything. Yet in prayer, he lifts his eyes up, and in prayer, he is reminded Jesus is on the throne. God is in control of all things. There is a wonderful future I have. There is a promise of people going to be gathered together under Christ. He goes from this cell or this room, and suddenly in prayer, he is alert. He is awake to the realities, to the real life that's going on. He sees the bigger picture. You see, in prayer, it's kind of like he steps out of his own little room and he sees this wonderful picture of the gospel throughout the whole world. I was trying to think what it's like. I wonder if it's a bit like, have you ever seen those videos of children that are born deaf? They've never heard anything else. Have you seen these videos? And then they have either a hearing aid or an implant put in and they turn it on and suddenly they hear things that they've never heard before. Suddenly, that their mum was always speaking to them, but now they can hear it. Their eyes have been lifted up. In prayer, we do that. We step out of our own little world, and we step out and go, wow, look at what God's doing. There's a much bigger picture going on. You see, I think prayer is amazing because don't we so often get caught sort of sleepwalking in our own lives? We're so kind of caught up in what's happening to us here and now that we can lose sight of what God is doing. One of my favorite bands called The National, they have a song. The chorus is, we're half awake in a fake empire. And I think as Christians, we're often half awake in a fake empire. We're only seeing what is around us here and now, the physical, we can only see our work, we can only see our relationships here. In prayer, we wake up. We go to God. We're reminded of the bigger picture. Just think of the Lord's Prayer. What's the first words? Our Father in heaven. Every time you pray, you are reminded you have a Father in heaven. A Father who wants to hear your prayers. Those four words lift your eyes and go, there is a Father in heaven who cares for me. And he's a Father in heaven. Have you thought about this? When you pray, when Veman was just praying, his words are reaching up to heaven. They're heard in heaven. Doesn't that lift our eyes and go, yeah, wake up. There's a bigger thing. There's a greater reality. And I think that doesn't detach us from reality. It means we lift up and it changes our reality. It changes our work. It changes our problems because we've suddenly got this bigger picture. When our work feels like a dead end, through watchful prayer, we are reminded that I have a future secured by Jesus. When I feel lonely, through watchful prayer, I am lifted up and reminded I have a heavenly Father and Jesus present with me. When I can't shake the guilt, through watchful prayer, I am reminded I have a Savior who died for me. When I look at the church and go, how is it going to be built? In prayer, I am reminded that the Spirit is alive and active in our church. It wakes us up. It lifts our eyes. Now imagine our prayer meetings where they're devoted to prayer and they are going, yes, I am praying. You know, like, isn't it easy to just say words in a room when you're praying? You go, well, I don't really know where it's going. Sort of up to about there. Actually, to have this mindset of going, my Father in heaven is hearing my prayers. My Father in heaven wants to hear my prayers. And do you see how that then flows through into devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful? Doesn't it just make you thankful? If it is waking you up, you go, you know, I can only see the problems here, and then I lift my eyes up and I go, Jesus is on his throne. He has died to save me. He's on his throne. He's working out his purposes for the church. So as we come in prayer, I think it just flows out that we become thankful. We see the reality of what Jesus has done. And I think that's my experience. I don't know if this is your experience. Ready confession time for Spencer. Quite often on a Tuesday night when it's prayer meeting, let me be honest, I go, I don't really want to go. Okay, there are, maybe that is a shock to you. But there are times when I've just eaten my dinner, I've had a busy day, I go, oh, prayer meeting tonight. But can I tell you my experience is then 99% of the time at the end of the prayer meeting, I'm so very thankful that I went. 99% of the time at the end of the prayer meeting, I have this bigger picture of what God is doing. 99% of the time I go, I am so pleased that I can call on my Father in heaven. Devotion is to say, I don't really want to go, but I'm going to go in prayer. So that's the attitude, that's the way you pray. I'd love our prayer meeting to be like that. I'd love my personal time of prayer to be more like that. But then notice what he wants them to pray. So verse 3, he talks about a clear way for the gospel, and then verse 4, he says a clear words for the gospel. So now, this is finally that little right-hand corner of the newsletter. What does Paul want us to pray for him? He's in prison, maybe under house arrest, and he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door. And you go, of course, you're in prison. You want a door opening. What door do you want opening? The prison door, please. That's what my prayer would be like. Wouldn't it? If I was a missionary somewhere, let me tell you, if I ever become a missionary somewhere and I end up in prison, I suspect my prayer letter will not be a massive book of Colossians that is full of amazing theology. I suspect my letter will say, pray I get out. But that's not what Paul says. Do you see what Paul says? He says, and pray for us too that God may open a door, not the prison door, may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. His priorities are amazing, right? His priorities are not that he would get out of prison. His main priority is that he would have an opportunity, a door open for him to tell people about the gospel. That's what he wants more than even getting out of prison. And do you see why? I kind of think this atmosphere of prayer changes his priorities of prayer, doesn't it? If he's a man that is praying that Jesus is on the throne, that he's got forgiveness, that he's got a future, suddenly he goes, well, I just want to tell people about that. Whether I'm in prison or whether I'm in a palace, I just want to tell people about the gospel. I want you to get in Paul's head. It's quite possible he's under house arrest and he is literally chained to a guard. That guard, at the end of the day, goes home to his wife, to his family, maybe picks up a donut on the way home. Paul is stuck in this house, can't go anywhere. And Paul wants to tell him the good news that he's got. Paul says, I have something so much better I want to tell you. I have something so glorious I need to tell you. He thinks he is in a place where he can share something with this guard because he has the gospel. He knows Jesus. And my heart, as I was preparing for this, I want to go, I want that attitude more. How often do I look at other people's lives and go, oh, I quite like their life, actually? You go, well, they're comfortable and rich and... And you go, but hang on, I've got the gospel, I've got Jesus, I've got more. I was trying to think who is the person I would want to swap places with, who is the person I'm most tempted, and I was like, well, I'm a Tottenham fan. If James Maddison came in this morning, he is a very good Tottenham player, and said, I will swap lives with you somehow, you'd have his skill, his talent, his money, his fame. I want to so believe that I've got more in Jesus that say, no, James. Let me sit down and tell you about Jesus. I've got something more for you than all the riches and all the fame and all the skill you can possibly have. How we could have this. And the thing that he has is he wants to share the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? Sounds a bit mysterious, doesn't it? But it's just saying something hidden that's then revealed. And in fact, in Colossians, he's already said what it is. He said, the mystery of Christ, what is it? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's in chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you. What's the mystery of Christ? It's that we're forgiven by Jesus' death. Our sin is wiped away, and Christ is in us. Jesus is in us by the Spirit. That is more than anyone else in the world has. The presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have him. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a hope of glory. That is more hope than anyone has. We have the hope of glory. As we see that, we just want to pray for this open door. He prays for an open door for the gospel, for open door for the message. He's praying that people would be ready for the message to come to them. There'd be circumstances that happen. Imagine the confidence Paul has here. He's in prison, maybe locked in his house. And he's praying to God, could you make a way that somebody could have an open door for this message? What confidence? That humanly, you go, well, that's not going to happen, Paul, because you're locked in one room. And yet he goes, well, no, God is God. I can pray this prayer. God can answer a prayer for people to have an open door for this message. Of course he can. He's in control. And can I just say, for us, this clear way in verse 3, for an open door for the message, can I give you three ways you can pray for that? One, you can pray for that with the partnership, with Turkey Street. This week, Gareth and the team are literally going and knocking on doors. Can't you pray that one of those doors would be an open opportunity for the gospel? Pray that in Turkey Street there would be some people who are just ready by God's sovereign power to receive the message of Jesus. Pray for your church. Pray for an open door for the message. Pray here at Berry Street that there might be people that turn up who are ready to hear the gospel. That God just brings them. Can I tell you, there was a guy once, and he turned up at a church I was at previously. And he was just one of those people who turned up on a Sunday. Nobody knew him. And within 2-3 weeks, he was just ready to hear the gospel. You know, you're teaching him the Bible, and he was like a sponge, everything he wanted to know about Jesus. And you kind of, it felt like this should be harder. It felt like a sort of open goal. Like, this guy is just ready. He was just ready for the gospel. He became a Christian. We were baptized him very, you know, within weeks, months. A few years later, I was at his wedding, and I met two of his childhood friends. And they said, for years we've been praying for him. For years we've been praying that he would believe. And suddenly I was like, well, that open door I experienced was answered to their years of prayer. What a joy. So pray for your church. Pray that people would just come in and be ready for the gospel. And then third, just pray for you as you're heading to work or to wherever you're going. Just pray that there'd be an opportunity for the gospel and expect that God might answer that prayer. Expect that, well maybe actually he, you know what, maybe he will answer this prayer and I'll be ready to tell people of the gospel. There'll be an open door ready. So he prays for a clear way in verse 3, and then verse 4, he prays for clear words. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You know what really made this verse come alive to me this week as I was looking at it? Remember who's saying it. This is Paul asking that he would proclaim the gospel clearly. I kind of think of pretty much everyone in history, he's quite high up there as somebody who could do quite a good job of that. Paul is so bold for the gospel that he's in prison. And yet he's saying, please pray for me. Pray that I'll be bold. Paul needs help of prayer. He's pretty bold, right? Paul, you might go, well, you know, sometimes we go and present the gospel, I won't know what to say. Paul literally wrote some of the Bible. And he's there praying, pray for me, pray for me, pray that I'll know what to say. Now, if Paul needs prayer to speak clearly of what Jesus has done, don't we need prayer too? Don't we want to plead with God, say, help me speak clearly? Part of the reason is Paul needs help to speak the truth. All of us do. We're weak, humble humans, for any of us to speak the gospel clearly is a work of God. So we want to pray for it. And we need God's help for anyone to hear the truth. For anyone to hear and understand what Jesus has done needs a work of God. Humanly, it's an impossible task. We can't do it. So of course we should pray. It's not impossible for God. So if Paul needs to pray, don't we want to pray and ask that we would proclaim clearly the gospel, what Jesus has done? And as we close, I want to see that those two things, they fold into each other. It's like a cycle. The atmosphere of devoted, watchful prayer, where we wake up and see who Jesus is going to make us go, and I really want other people to know that. You pray for doors to be opened and to proclaim it clearly. And as you do that, you go, and I'm so thankful that he's opened my eyes. And you're devoted and watchful and thankful prayers, and that makes you want to then pray for other people again. See, they sort of feed one another. The way you pray and what you pray for, they feed one another. But as I close, let me give you, just as I was preparing this, there was just three churches I know that were just on my heart as I prayed, because they're just obvious examples of how God works through prayer. There's three churches I know in completely different parts of the country, and all of them, maybe 30, 40 years ago, all three of those churches were struggling. They were low in number. They didn't know what to do. And separately, not together, just separately, what was the distinctive thing about them? Well, it was just a small group, mainly of older people, who got together and they just prayed. They're like, we don't know what to do with the church, and they prayed. They didn't know how to move forward, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they were devoted to prayer. I wasn't there, but I hear stories of each of these three churches of people that are just like, we don't know what to do, let's pray, let's pray. And then a good 30, 40 years on, after some of those people praying have died, in each of those three churches, I know of life and baptisms and people growing in the knowledge of God, of churches being planted through those churches where people were praying. And that's how God works, isn't he? He works through our prayers. He loves to answer the prayers of his people. So for us, for all of us, to have that devoted attitude to prayer, that God might work through our prayers, that people might know him, that he might be glorified. So with a sermon on prayer, well, you feel like you've got to end with prayer, don't you? So let's pray. Lord, forgive me, forgive us, that sometimes we are not devoted to prayer. We are sleepwalking. Father, forgive us, forgive me, when that is because I think I can do anything by myself in my own power. Lord, I thank you that we can come and say, Our Father in heaven. You hear our prayers. Father, thank you that as we pray, we lift our eyes to see the realities of the gospel, that Jesus is at your right hand and he is working everything for the church. And Lord, we ask that you would open many doors. Open many doors that would just make it impossible for us to do it in our own power. Open many doors for the mystery of Christ in Turkey Street, here in Berry Street. Lord, in our own lives, and Father, help us to be ready that we might proclaim it clearly. Father, thank you for the great joy and privilege that we have access to you in prayer. And Father, we pray that as we pray, you might be glorified. We ask that you would answer these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.